Well, today is, or tomorrow, is Memorial Day. And so I want to share a little bit about grief. And when the sermon's subject is grief, the sermon is, well, for everybody. It's got everybody's name scribbled on it. A couple of weeks ago, I reminded you that everyone dies. Well, this week, a reminder, everyone grieves. Nobody will escape the shadow of grief. It's the great democratizer. Everybody who lives, sooner or later, grieves. And grief is the aftermath of any deeply felt loss. And since we all experience losses, whether great losses or small losses, just as I was talking to the kids, we grieve those losses. All of us will know the pain of grief. In our sanest, highest, most mature moments, we also know that grief, even with all its pain, is a blessing. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. And my hope is that somehow that each of you will, if not now, one day recognize that grief is a gift from God. A strange gift, perhaps, but a gift, nonetheless. It is good, it is gracious that we can grieve. Now, don't hear me saying that the loss that occasioned the grief is a gift. That's not good theology. We must always be careful to make the distinction between the loss that devastates us and the process of grief that follows the devastation. You hearing me? It's not the loss that's the gift. It's the process of grief that's a gift from God to us. One day there's going to be no more loss. One day, on that day, according to Revelation 21, when we finally enter the unending presence of God, there will be no more loss, no more grief, right? And so the reason there will be no more grief is because there will be no more loss. We will not need grief any longer because our lives will not be disrupted by any kind of loss at all. As long as money and jobs and health and homes and friends and husbands and wives and parents and siblings and dreams can be lost, well, we will grieve. And we will need the strange and the good gift of grief. It's the painful gift that becomes not a place to stand and hurt. But grief is a place where you can walk through and recover. The strange gift of grief takes different shapes in different lives, but if we reduce the gift of grief down to a least common denominator, we can probably say that for all of us, grief is these three things. Grief is love's inevitable price. It's life's lingering echo, and it's hope's best chance. So this sermon, for those of you who like to take notes, has three points. Let me repeat them. Grief is love's inevitable price, life's lingering echo, and hope's best chance. Incidentally, one of my favorite preachers, Cecil Sherman, who, by the way, is the person that's being read at the nursing home just now. Cecil is read on a regular basis. He was one of my professors at Baptist Theological Seminary in Richmond. He was once asked the question, how many points should a sermon have? And his response was, well, at least one. So, good advice. Today I've got three. Yeah. Grief is love's inevitable price. You know, if we love deeply, then it exceedingly is likely that we will grieve deeply. That's the way it works. And the only way that you will miss grief is to miss love. Grief is love's price. About the only way to never grieve is to never love. But to never love, well, you never fully live, do you? The only way to miss the pain of loss is to miss the dance of life. And if you're not dancing, and if you're not loving, and if you're not taking it all in, well, you won't grieve, but you won't live either. Grief is love's inevitable price. The price we pay for loving deeply. Sometimes late at night, I used to go to Melanie's room, my oldest daughter, and I would look at her face as she slept, and I wondered someday if the twists and turns of life would bring pain. And I thought to myself, is there anything, God, that I could do to protect her from that? I don't want her to hurt. And God said, no. Whenever you have parents and children, you have the immense promise of joy. And you have the enormous possibility of grief. Wherever you have husbands and wives, you have the immense promise of joy. And you have the enormous likelihood of grief. Wherever you have intimate friendships, you have this immense promise of joy, but you also have this enormous chance for grief. Grief is love's inevitable price. That child on whom you depend might move clear across the country. And that friend that you cherish might forget you someday. That spouse whom you love more than life itself may someday die. And if we love deeply, eventually we will grieve deeply. To love someone fully, freely, faithfully is to make yourself completely vulnerable. And if you love, you will grieve. But that's no reason to stop loving, is it? No. It's not a curse, folks. Grief is not a curse. Grieving won't kill you. It's rather not loving that will slowly, systematically kill you. If you don't make yourself vulnerable, if you don't take risks, if you don't love, then you will tragically, sadly, miserably underlive your life. Grief is the price we pay for a lifetime of intimacy, joy, love with friends and parents and children and siblings and spouses. And if you love deeply, you will grieve deeply. Grief is love's inevitable price, but that's not all. The strange gift of grief is also life's lingering echo. Anybody know Grady Nutt? Remember Grady Nutt from the Hee Haw Show? Anybody remember Grady? He was a Baptist pastor. Used to tell stories, a beloved humorist. Close friend of the Nutts told me a few years after Grady's death, his wife, Eleanor, said, "The first year after Grady died, my grief was my companion." I'm sure glad I had it. First year after my husband died, my grief was my companion. I'm sure glad I had it. Grief is life's echo. Grief is, in some strange way, the last lingering tie that binds us to the one that we no longer have. After Jo Catherine died, I remember saying in a prayer one night, "God, don't ever let me stop crying." Because I'm afraid if I do, I might forget. And I certainly don't want to do that. It's life's lingering echo. I don't understand all this, but I know it's true. Our grief, even our grief, is a gift from God, and for which we can be thankful, because grief is the echo. It's the echo that helps us to remember. And the grief we feel for the person we lost is that binding echo of our relationship with that person. There are times yet still when I'll see something that reminds me, and tears will come, and I'm grateful. Because I can remember. It hurts, but I'm grateful for the tears. We can't touch them, see them, we can't feel them, but we can remember them, we can miss them, and we can grieve them, and we're bound to them by this tie that binds. It's the pain of grief. Sure, the memories hurt. The brittle, yellowed stationery that we look through. Maybe the photos. The empty chair at Thanksgiving and Christmas, to be sure. The memories fill our hearts with pain and fill our eyes with tears. The grief hurts. But what would you prefer? That God would give us the capacity to forget the people that we love? Are you serious? So we won't grieve? Would we rather that God has given us the capacity to completely erase from our hearts and our minds and our lives and this love that was gone? If you and I had the choice, I believe that we would rather have the capacity to remember and grieve rather than to forget and feel nothing. Grief is a gift. Grief is a gift from God. Grief is a good gift because it's life's echo. Grief is the last lingering come and go and come again echo of the life of someone whom we have loved and we deeply miss. But we can't live on echoes and shadows. We have to come to terms with the reality of our loss. We've got to move on to good new days. Believe that God will do as well in the future as God has done in the past. Did you hear that? Do you believe that God will do as well in the future as God has done in the past? Yeah. That God is faithful? This brings us to grief's final and crowning mission. Grief is love's inevitable price. It's life's lingering echo. And it's hope's best chance. In some strange way, it's hope's best chance. Perhaps this is the strangest of all of the strange gifts of grief. I think it really is. The opposite can also be true. Let me just tell you this. You know, in the times of our greatest grief, if you choose to, you can close down shop. Just close it down. We can decide that, well, we're exceptional and that nobody else has ever been hurt like we've been hurt, or divorced like we've been divorced, or been betrayed like we've been betrayed, or let down like we've been let down, or widowed like we've been widowed. And we can write off God. Some people do. And we can say, well, life is absurd and senseless, and when you're in that kind of grief, that can be the occasion of that kind of choice. But there's a far better, more honest choice. It's the choice to put our lives in God's hands and cast our hope on God. Our grief can drive us to God. Our grief can and does somehow, surgically, what ends up happening is we open our lives up to God in new ways, and in return experience God's goodness, God's grace, we get God's hope. We surgically open ourselves up through grief to God. We do that. And it's painful, folks, but when you do and you let God in, God comes in. Now, some of us have no time for God when everything's going well. And then when our world gets disrupted, when the center gets moved, when the stable ground starts shifting beneath our feet and everything's coming apart, when someone we love more than life is gone in that darkness, what happens? Well, we open our lives up to God. And grief, strangely enough, becomes hope's best chance. Now, don't hear me saying that God sent the trouble to somehow make you change and turn to Him. I don't believe that. Trouble comes because we live in a world where there is trouble. There's disease, there's rage, there's germs, there's ravage, there's people dying, and that just happens. And that's the kind of world that we live in, and that's not what God wants. And God, I don't believe, whimsically sends trouble to get our attention. I don't think that's how God works. But when the trouble comes, I do believe that God can work in our lives in some new ways. We're so much more open to God when we're grieving than when we're comfortable. Is that true? This means yes. This means no. This means you're asleep. I think we're open to God when we're grieving. And sometimes grief is God's best chance to come into our lives with grace and hope. Remember what Paul said to the Thessalonians. He said, we don't grieve the same way as those who have no hope. We don't grieve the same way. We grieve differently. We grieve just like they grieve, but we grieve differently because what we have is this understanding that God's with us. Organist at the church at New Hope lost her husband. Tragically, he died of a heart attack. Came suddenly. She called me on the phone. She said, my husband Charlie just died. And she said it just like that. I said, well, I'm terribly sorry. I said, I'll be right over. Came over to the house. They were taking Charlie out. She said, with tears in her eyes, well, he's with the Lord now. And it was an interesting thing. She had a smile on her face and tears coming down that same face. Now, how can you do that at the same time? How can you smile and cry? Yeah. Because her hope was where? She was grieving. She was grieving. She's going to miss him. But where was her hope? In the resurrection that she played the organ for, and we sang every Sunday. She was the organist for 40 years at New Hope United Methodist Church. Still is the organist. So how do you do that? Well, folks, I got to tell you, sometimes grief is God's best way to enter in and give us hope. We have hope. God raised Jesus from the dead. Did he not? And we grieve, but we grieve differently. God took what looked like the worst defeat in the world and turned it into the greatest triumph in all the world. We grieve, but our grief is attended by the hope that God, who raised Jesus from the dead, who brought order out of chaos, this God who brings triumph out of defeat and joy out of pain, will do as well in the future as he has done in the past. This is the God I believe in, and if this is the God who has done this in the past, I surely believe that God will do it now and in the future. And I'm not going to stop believing now, of all times. I'm going to claim it and hold on to it and live into it because I know it's true. We grieve, but our grief is amended by the hope that God, who raised Jesus, will also raise the one we love. Grief is the common experience of all people. And I suppose that's why we have a Memorial Day. No one eludes the shadow of grief. We will all know the pain of grief. And it hurts. But in our honest moments, think about it. Even if we won't admit it right now, even if we can't say it right now, grief is a gift. It's a gift from God. A strange one, but a good one. It's love's inevitable price. It's life's lingering echo, and it's hope's best chance. One of God's good gifts for hard times. Let's pray. God, we come into this place because we know that you are here and that we can talk to you. And even in sadness, God, that we can cling to you. And somehow, in the midst of our tears, you give us peace. You give us laughter as we remember. We recall the love that we shared. And we look to you, God, with the knowledge of the resurrection and the hope and the power that you have. And believe that we will see our loved ones again in your heavenly kingdom, because that's your promise. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.